Yes, from the scripture reading tonight, we'll be in Mark chapter 4 tonight. Mark chapter 4, of course, fourth chapter of Mark comes right after the third chapter of Mark, which that's where Jesus is. The Pharisees are trying to destroy Jesus, and so there's some challenges against him. The scribes said that Jesus cast out demons by the prince of demons and is possessed by Beelzebub. And so what we see in chapter 3 leading up to chapter 4 is that people are rejecting Jesus. Why do the religious leaders reject him? And there are some that think that people that follow Jesus are crazy for doing so, and they think that Jesus is crazy. So what's going on here? So Mark records here a series of parables in the fourth chapter to explain why this is happening and to show the response that Jesus is giving to this situation. So that's a little bit of background coming into chapter 4. So what we see in the passage that Rex read in verses 1 through 9 is that crowds are still flocking to Jesus, even though the religious leaders don't particularly care for this. There are those that are still flocking to hear him. They want to hear what it is he has to say. And in chapter 3, you see that the crowds were so big that they were crushing each other, crushing Jesus. Same thing is happening now. And so the crowd here is so large that Jesus needs to step into a boat to speak to them while the crowd is still on the shore. And Jesus is going to take this opportunity to teach. And that's certainly a reason that he is in his ministry to do that. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 4, he was teaching them many things in parables. So Jesus is wanting people to listen and to understand. And he tells them a parable here of the soils in verses 3 through 8. And after Jesus calls for people to listen, he wants them to consider the things that he has said, and that's what we will do this evening. Verse 9 says, he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I won't reread what Rex read earlier, because we're going to talk about each one of those things as we move along. But what we see in verses 10 through 12, when the disciples are alone with Jesus, they ask him about the parables. Maybe it seems like it's kind of a strange story, and he has not yet given them an explanation of it. So, what is Jesus doing? Why is it that he is telling parables? Well, it says here in chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, and when he was alone, some of those with him, with the 12, asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So, this is kind of an interesting response that Jesus is giving to them. His answer is that it's been given to you to understand this. So he's speaking to them in parables. So the thought is a lot of people that are hearing this are not keying in on what is being said, including the disciples at this point. And the those who are outside, everything is a parable. So consider his answer here. Is he just saying that, well, I'm only letting you 12 in on what is the secret of the kingdom and no one else? Or is he saying something different? Is he saying that he's teaching this way on purpose, so that people are blinded and that they don't understand? And I think it helps us to understand what Jesus is saying in verse 11 if we go back to Isaiah, because he is... I believe he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Well, this is very interesting. The last five chapters of Isaiah reveal a condemnation against Judah. Why? Because, well, they're sinful and they have failed to bear fruit for God. And God describes the judgments that will come against the nation of Judah because of their rebellion. In Isaiah chapter 6, you know, records the call of Isaiah. Isaiah has this vision of a throne room of God. And it's in this scene that God is commissioning Isaiah to be the prophet to the nation. Whom shall I send? Whom shall go for us? So the commission here is really interesting, isn't it? It may be considered one of the strangest commissions ever, to go teach the people, go preach to them and tell them to keep hearing but not understand, and keep on seeing without perceiving. And, you know, at first glance, that may seem kind of odd. Why would you want to teach somebody but them not understand? Why would you want somebody to see but not see, and hear but not hear? But what Isaiah is saying is that these people's hearts are dull, and their ears are heavy, and their eyes are blinded. And because that is the case, you know, they can't see and they can't hear. If it weren't the case, then they would be able to see and they'd be able to hear and be able to understand. So it's not that we want them to stay in that position, but what is being predicted here by Isaiah, that this is what's going to happen to these people, is that they're going to be blind. They're not going to hear because their hearts are dull and their ears are stopped. And, you know, God is saying that this is going to continue because judgment is going to fall on this nation. So this is, of course, not the effect that God wants. God is not sending Isaiah to make sure that Judah will be condemned. You know, Judah has condemned themselves through their own actions. What God wants is to send Isaiah to warn them and to preach to them, but he also knows that the effect of the preaching will be that the people will be even more hardened. And this is sometimes what God's Word does. When you look at the prophecies of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and you look at Pharaoh, for example, when Moses went and spoke to him, and it says that his heart was hardened. Well, it's because people sometimes will hear things that they don't want to do. And Jesus is teaching the same message to his disciples. So, you know, why does Jesus tell parables? Why does he tell parables? Well, parables are being used in the same way that Isaiah, when he spoke, people are either going to hear it and be obedient to it, or they're not going to perceive it and they're not going to understand. The parables are challenging in many cases. And so Jesus is saying the secret of the kingdom is being revealed to you because of the kind of heart that you have. And Jesus is speaking in parables. See, who is it that's going to dig deeper into what Jesus is saying? Who is it that's going to learn? Who's going to hear the word, and who's going to walk away with a dull heart and stopped up ears? Who's going to be willing to be taught by God? And who's going to discern what the Lord is saying? There will be those that will be blinded by the message, and there are those that will listen. You know, it seems today that there's often an idea that we as teachers need to make God's teachings as watered down as possible. That we need to simplify things, or we need to make things not challenging so that people will come to the Lord. But that's really not the way that you see Jesus looking at the situation. He's not making it easy. He's saying there's going to be a lot of people that hear this and don't understand what it is that I'm saying. He offered God's Word, and then he looked to see who would it be that would learn more or want to learn more. Who had questions? Who dug deeper? Who wants to know the answers? So the problem is not with the speaker, but, you know, Israel and, you know, the religious leaders of the day, stubborn hearts prevent them from seeing and understanding. So after Jesus talks about this. He goes on and he explains to them, you know, the meaning of the parable, picking up in verse 13. He said to them, "Do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and it bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so Jesus goes right into explaining the meaning of this parable. And he also says that understanding this parable is a key to a lot of things, because he says that if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of the others. If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the other parables? And so this parable really is about the heart and how to hear the word of God, and how some do not hear the word of God. And so every time that the word of God is proclaimed, you know, there's like this warfare in the heart of every person. And there's a variety of reactions to the proclamation of God's word. First of all, we see the completely unresponsive heart. In verse 15, it says, "Some hear and forget." I'll tell you an example of this that's work-related recently. I was involved in doing some retraining of a customer in Atlanta. They had already been trained by somebody else, but their hearts were hardened against it. And so the idea was that I was coming into, they were going to bring in another training expert. And I was no better than the one that tried to teach them the first time. So the company asked me to write up, you know, my impressions of the training. And I thought this was only going to be an internal document, by the way. And so I mentioned the three different people that I trained and how I thought each one of them perceived it and handled it. And in one case, I said that this particular person was not the least bit interested in anything that I was saying and was not engaged in the training at all and did not have a basic understanding of how to use a computer. And so I found out a couple of weeks later they fired her because our company sent them a copy of everything that I said. And so that was not the way that I was intending for that document to be used, but actually that company had asked to know what I had said because they knew that they had a problem, and they wanted to know candidly what it was that I had to say. So that was certainly interesting when I found that out. But so when I read about this wayside soil that's so packed and hardened and not interested, I think about that young lady that is looking for another job right now, because she was not interested at all in learning anything, and it was very apparent by her body language and the way that she was behaving while I was there. And so spiritually, this is a much worse problem when it's not a problem with the seed, it's not a problem with the sower, it's a problem with the heart, it's a problem with the ground. And so the word is gone as soon as it you know, really leaves the mouth of the speaker. It's just going to be that way with some people. And sometimes parents will use the expression about their kids that it goes in one ear and out the other. What does that mean? Well, it means that it absolutely had no effect. Or we say it's like talking to a brick wall. You know, there's all kinds of expressions we have for kids. But it's like it doesn't do any good to, am I talking to hear myself talk? That's another thing that we'll say. What does that mean? It means that we don't think something is registering. And it's not just about kids. It's about anybody. And it could be about an employee-employer relationship. But what's wrong here is the soil. The soil is not receiving the seed. This pictures a completely unresponsive heart, and we understand that. Also, secondly, we see a shallow heart in verses 16 and 17. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they have heard the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So this indicates, you know, what we sometimes see is that somebody may be very responsive to the gospel initially, and short term. They receive the word with joy immediately, which is very encouraging. But then there's a problem, that there is no root. They endure for a little while, but when difficulties come, they fall away. Several years ago, before we finally gave up on a couple of patches in our front yard, that, you know, we were trying to grow grass there. And I'd throw out some dirt and some soil, and I would plant seed, and the seed would come up, and it was all exciting. And then, you know, then it would, you know, sun would come out, and it would parch it, and it would die. And I don't know how much money I spent on soil and seed until Jarrell dug the whole thing up and planted a flower bed there, because the grass was never going to grow. And so, you know, this is the idea that you see here, is that a plant sometimes will shoot up, but if it doesn't have any root, there's no nourishment, then it's not going to last very long. And this is describing the difficulties of life that cause the Word of God not to take root in somebody's heart. The heart's really not ready for the challenge of following Jesus. The heart's really not ready to sacrifice and endure. And, you know, there are some hearts that just won't do that, won't sacrifice and do what it takes to get on the right path, to follow Jesus and stay on that path. The third type of soil that you see is the worldly heart in verses 18 and 19. Others are the ones among the thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the heart, and it proves unfruitful. They have too much on their minds. They have too much love in their hearts for other things. The word is choked out by worldly concerns and desires. Everything else in life gets in the way of being fruitful. And I know that's very easy to understand. And perhaps you have been that way yourself before. You've seen others that way that are just not really that dedicated. And when there's a decision to make about, you know, whether to follow the world or follow God, many times the choice is to not put God first. This is a plant that might live, but it's not a plant that's bearing fruit. And this soil says yes to God, but God's not placed before the cares and desires of the world. So compared to the second soil, the thorny ground, maybe you would see this as a little bit of a step up, but not, certainly not acceptable in what Jesus is laying out. You know, this is a plant that's taking up some room, but it's not bearing any fruit. And finally, you get to the good heart in verse 20. Those that are sown on the good soil are those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So this is the good soil that brings about some sort of fruitful harvest. And you notice, as we said before, the difference it's not explained that the sower did a better job with this soil. There's not any criticism of the seed. There's not any criticism of the sower and what the sower did differently this time. And so Jesus is describing these various responses that people have to him and in the kingdom. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with Jesus. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with his message. And when Jesus quotes Isaiah, what he's showing here is this was exactly true in the days of Isaiah, and it's exactly true in his day, and it's exactly true today. That some are going to reject the word. Some are going to accept it, but they're not going to endure. Some are going to accept it, but don't bear a lot of fruit, and there's going to be some that will accept it and bear fruit. It was true back then, and it's true now, and the difference is in the heart of the person who heard the word. And the key, really, to this parable is in verses 10 through 12. When he says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parables. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things are in parables. And so what we see here is that there are those that will do Jesus' will. They will do the will of God. And what happens to them? Well, they become part of God's family. And why do they know the mysteries of God? Because they listen. Because they hear it. Not because they've been specially chosen, but because their heart is special. You know, their heart has received it. Jesus is telling parables. You know, and they're kind of like spiritual tests to separate those who will come to understand and those who are going to walk away blind. And unbelief can be sealed in our hearts because we're just stubborn. And so, you know, that's really the message here. And when you put it back in the context of Mark chapter 3, you know, Jesus is busy proclaiming the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. And there are those that follow him. There are also those that think he's crazy and they want to kill him. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom is going to work and it's going to grow even in the midst of all this turmoil, even in the midst of all those that might reject it. And I think that's a good lesson for us, that you know the kingdom is not being crushed here in the midst of this rebellion against Christ. And the kingdom is not being crushed today in the midst of turmoil in our country or anywhere else. That it's going to work and it's going to grow in the face of opposition. And we don't need to be discouraged by that. It's the hearts of the people that really matter. And if hearts grow duller and more resistant to every proclamation of God's message, you know, we don't need to be surprised about that. Jesus is sowing the seed here in a hostile environment. But there's good soil and there's soil that's not good. And the temptation, as we've already alluded to today, or in this lesson, is that fruitfulness, if we don't see it, then we want to modify the message. We want to change the seed. And so, you know, you can drive up and down, you know, Highway 119 here, and you can see signs at different places that say, well, you've got contemporary worship at 11 o'clock, and we've got traditional worship at 9. And what that usually means is that the old people don't like the loud music that they have at 11 o'clock. And so, why do they do that? Well, they want to attract a different audience. You know, we need to be more contemporary. And we need to adjust the message. We need to change the message for the 21st century. But, you know, what is the issue and what has always been the issue is this, is the heart. It's not about changing the message to make it more acceptable. If we're not bearing fruit for the Lord, Jesus' answer is that our hearts are no good. And if we're not growing, then there's something wrong with our heart. So if we have a heart that's completely unresponsive, then what we need to do is understand that we haven't given God a chance. That we have not let the Word of God plant into our heart. And the problem is not with God. The problem is not with the Word. And if you're resistant to the Word of God, understand that the problem is with your heart. It's not with God's Word. And sometimes teachers, parents, and others may try so hard to change somebody's mind. And we do and say whatever it is that we can say to bring somebody back or to have somebody respond to the gospel message. And it's discouraging when you evidently can't say the right thing or come up with the right message. But I'm telling you, don't be discouraged at those that reject the seed of the Word of God, because that's exactly what was happening in Jesus' day. If we are preaching the message, if we are sharing the Word of God, it's up to that person that's hearing it whether or not they're going to let it penetrate their heart. And sometimes those that teach beat themselves up that, not getting the response I want. Well, we have a responsibility to teach, and if we know that we're teaching the truth, then we can, pray for that there will be a harvest and that it will penetrate the heart. Sometimes people have received the Word and they're not ready for it. They haven't prepared their heart. They've stopped listening. But Jesus is very plain that when you are His disciple, that you must carry the cross to follow Him. You have to make sacrifices. You have to deny yourself. You might be uncomfortable. You might be met with resistance for loving the Lord. You might have challenges in your family, whatever it might be. But we have to accept that. And we have to receive the Word. We have to quit being too busy and quit being too hard-hearted and let the Word penetrate our hearts. The cares of the world, it does this to a lot of people, as described in this parable. Those that are choked by the cares of the world don't bear fruit. Those that don't have any root, they're going to dry up. They're not going to be pleasing. So how do you know if that describes you? How do you know that you are the good soil? Well, Jesus wanted to know that too. He wanted to know who is the good soil. Jesus wanted to know who is going to come to Him and ask questions. And he had some good soil there in His disciples, because they wanted to know what these things were about. He wanted to know who would come looking for answers. And Jesus challenged those who He taught, who would dig deeper and draw closer to Him. And that's one way that you know that you have good soil in your heart. You desire more. You desire to know more. You desire more of God. You want deeper roots. You want to hear His Word. You want to be changed. You want to align your life with the Word of God. You come to the Lord with an open mind and heart, allowing the Word of God to change you and mold you. But if we're resistant to that, maybe we don't really know what kind of soil we are. If we're resistant to change, if we're resistant to what God's Word would have us to do, we need to look at our heart. We want our heart to be this one that's on the screen right now. The good soil, the good heart. So it's very interesting when you look at the parables that there was not always a perception of what it was that Jesus was teaching. Not everybody perceived it. And that was on purpose. Jesus wanted those who had good hearts to receive it and to respond to it. And we'll be talking more about some other parables in the future. But this is one that that's very, very common to us. But what's uncommon is that we don't always realize what kind of soil we are. We all want to assume that we're the good soil, but sometimes the others describe us a little bit if we're resistant to the Word of God. So I hope this will be useful to you, and that you, as you teach others, will be able to use this and help others to prepare their hearts to receive the Word of God, just as soil needs to be prepared to receive seed. If we can help you in any way to do that this evening, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.